Rob, for taking the time to do this interview today. My first question would be, what is industrial collaboration for you and for your organization? And what are the different models, out-licensing, co-development, or consulting, for example, that you experienced?
Sure, yes. For us, industrial collaboration really involves using our expertise, so where we have some specialist skill set or subject matter expertise, to meet an unmet need or solve a problem for an industry partner. And what's really important there for us is that the outcome of that collaboration, a joint project, is then used by the industrial partner to make their business or products better in some way or other. So the outcome gets used. And we're involved in doing this in a range of different ways. So models have varied. One approach involves taking a technology that we've developed or a piece of expert information that we have, and approaching companies that we think it should fit, or companies that we think should find it interesting or are useful. And that often involves working through networks of contacts, being in touch with industries through industrial organizations or personal networks, to understand what the company's unmet needs are. And most commonly, what I've seen most commonly from that is that results in the technology that we present or we discuss with a company not necessarily meeting the need directly as we thought that it might do, but in learning about a new or related problem that the company has, and then the collaboration develops into seeing if we can adjust our approach or work collaboratively to see if our technology can meet the new solution and the specific unmet need that the company has. And in those cases, we would often seek to a license or seek a supply arrangement as a result of that collaboration. So a second model that we've been involved in is to see what needs companies have through third-party organizations or technology brokers such as InnoSpin or others, where the company is very specific about a solution that it's seeking, where the company describes in detail an unmet need that it has. And actually, we've found that there's a much greater chance of successful collaboration there. The company's identifying a very specific need that it's motivated to seek. However, the solution offered, so what the project that we work in, or the technology that we're offering, has to very precisely match the need. And if it doesn't really fit what's describing, then things don't progress. And whilst this is it's a very good approach, the opportunities don't come up very often, so that we don't find that opportunity to work in that way very frequently. When we do work in that way, then we're often seeking the same outcomes, either license or supply arrangements. And the third model that I've been involved in is more straightforward consulting. So that's most commonly where we have some subject matter expertise that's needed by a company, usually for some defined period or a project. And that often is either just a one-off or leads to further involvement if the company is developing that new subject matter area. So those are three models that we've been involved with for industrial collaboration.
And during those three collaborations, what are the challenges you faced and how did you overcome them?
Sure. So there's a couple of challenges we have found in those situations. One common one that the company involved in the collaboration, the industrial partner, wants to discuss the commercial outcome of the project very early, which is understandable. But in many situations, the organisation or particularly if it's a university or the academic institute, isn't quite prepared to have that discussion on the commercial outcome and hasn't really envisaged what commercial success actually looks like. So what are they really seeking from the collaboration? So the solution to that really is to institute or the academic institute involved to think more, think further ahead and be prepared for the situation that actually the project works and it's all successful. What does that mean? But importantly, think about that in a realistic way. Critically assess what it actually wants to get out of it. So being prepared for that early commercial discussion is often a challenge. Another challenge that I've faced recently is that the projects that are established from the company's point of view are often relatively small and don't sit very high on the company's priority list. There's a fairly far down the R&D list of a research department. Because in many cases, if it was a very significant and very important for the company, then they would more often look to bring the expertise in-house rather than outsource. Whereas from the institute's point of view, then the project is actually usually very important, and they see it as significant, and they want to move quickly. Whereas the company is often actually quite happy to move quite slow because it's important, but it's not really important to the company. So there's a mismatch in timing expectations between how fast the company wants to move and how fast the institute wants to move.
So more generally, would you encourage industrial companies to collaborate more with academic structures? And according to what you just said, what would be your advice for them maybe to understand academic better?
Sure, yes, I would very much encourage companies to collaborate more and not to underestimate the importance of the different approaches and the out-of-the-box thinking that can come from that collaboration and the new opportunities that creates for companies. Companies can often be very quite rightly inwardly focused on their particular markets. But innovations from outside of that field, from experts who are genuine experts in related areas, can advance things very well. And what I would encourage, advice I would give to the companies, is to help the academic institutes or the research institutes to really think about what they're seeking beyond the project. So if the project's successful, what do they want to get from that? And make sure they have that front of mind at the start of the project. From the company's point of view, I would bear in mind that often it's much more motivating for the institutes to have further projects. They're much more excited about, so from an individual academic's point of view, they're often more excited about doing another project, having an ongoing collaboration, than they are about a royalty deal or a license arrangement or a supply arrangement. So personally, from the academic's point of view, it's often far more motivating to be involved in a longer-term collaboration with multiple projects. And I'd encourage or advise institutes to apply as much critical thinking to the value of what they have as they do to the technology or the subject matter itself. So it's often easy to get focused on the technology and in many cases overestimate the value or importance of it. So think critically about, you know, a pending patent application, will it really issue? Is it really a value? How much benefit does it really provide? And that way think, it'll encourage realistic thinking about what could then come from that.
Thank you very much for those useful advice. And finally, you were introduced to a large corporation thanks to Innospin. How was this experience for you?
Very good, actually. It has worked out very well. We have been working with them for some time and are still working with them. The approach that we were taking would meet an unmet need that they had, and found on discussion with them that the specific approach that we were taking may not have been quite suitable, but through some adjustment, then it looks like something might be suitable. So something very useful might come from that. And so we're working through the project to see if adjustments and greater understanding of their unmet needs will lead to something successful. And it's going very well.
Thank you very much, Rob, for replying to my question today.
My pleasure.